Hello and welcome, listeners, to the RPFM Basketball Show, brought to you by Bobcats Basketball and Frankston Basketball, powered by Frankston Mitsubishi. It is Friday, the 27th of May, 2016. It's just after 6 p.m. and we have a rather large show again. And to kick things off, my co-host, who's come in with a leather jacket, means business, Mr. Darren Marnie Walsh of the Bobcats Basketball. Welcome, Darren.
How are you, mate?
Very good.
I'll keep all our references to politicians to a minimum today. And I do apologise to Peter for last week, unfortunately.
I don't know what you're talking about. What are you referring to?
She's a lovely woman, a great candidate, and she's doing lots for the sport, which is great.
Of course, you're talking about Peter Murphy, who is part of her election campaign to win the seat at Dunkley in the federal election on July 2nd. It's committed, or the Labor Party, if they form government, committing $2.5 million to the expansion works at Frankston Basketball Indoor Stadium Project. And with that, we get our high-performance centre and retractable seating and a mezzanine level for our clubs to socialise and function in. But
I look forward to when Bobcats build their stadium, mate.
Well, mate, I look forward to that too, because I know it's going to be a fairly special stadium. But we do have another cracking show. We're very fortunate to have our in-studio guests travel all the way from the other side of the planet, from a little town called Buffalo in New York. But we do have former Blues and the Basketball Show's own Steph Reed and Courtney Wilkins from the University of Buffalo Women's Basketball Program. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's a fair intro, wasn't it?
It was.
So, welcome. You're back. You're in your off-season. You had a really successful sophomore year. Tell our listeners how it went, and I guess it's great to be back.
Well, we had a little bit of a down in the middle of the season, but we came back and we went into the conference tournament 8th seed, but we came through. We won all our games that week and we won the MAC championship, what was good, and went to the NCAA tournament.
Well, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Going to the
NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it was interesting. We played Ohio State, which were a third seed. We were 14th at the time, so it was a tough game, but learned a lot from it.
And so you bowed out in the first round?
We did.
That's okay. Did you get to hang around, though?
No.
Oh. Because I would have thought, well, obviously the girls' conferences are run differently to the blokes, so you wouldn't have been seeing the men's competition at all?
We watched
no,
it on TV.
You can watch it online on TV, but they play at different places, so you can't watch any games.
Oh, what a great experience to have.
And they've been very modest. These two girls can talk, so they're with us for the next hour, and I look forward to asking them questions, and they're going to have to talk about themselves, so hopefully a little bit of US culture's rubbed off on them. And
they can give us some insight, because there are some girls, obviously, as we talked about earlier, who are about to head overseas, so you girls can give us some insights as to what they should be looking out for.
Absolutely, the college experience, which I know you don't sometimes subscribe to, but student athletes on scholarships getting education and also playing a high level of basketball is a wonderful thing. But we are going to talk further about that throughout the show, so great having the ladies in the building. And of course, welcome to Mitch, our panelist, who doesn't have the ball tonight, unfortunately. He's sitting out, which shows the level of talent that we have on tonight's roster. You are on the RPFM Basketball Show. For those that can't get us in their cars or on their radio, you can stream online, rpfm.com.au. We are going to go to a short break and we'll be back to really kick things off. We're going to get Steve Blackley on the line talking about the Senior Blues program. Looking forward to the girls getting some analysis on our Senior Men's program and where we're at. Of course, we're going to get Mike Brookins, the VA Lady Group head coach, every week, the Basketball Show's own. And these girls were hoping in a couple of years when they finish their stellar careers at the University of Buffalo, they come back and represent the Lady Blues if they're not playing in Europe or the WNBA or the WNBL. And of course, the last segment, we're going to get our good friend, Manny Hendricks Jr. to talk all things Big V, doing some great work at the Collingwood All-Stars. I'm going to talk about the NBA. He's been all over Oklahoma, so I think he may have got that right against the Golden State Warriors. And it's a big show again, Bobby. You look like you've brought your research and
I've just scattered it everywhere, that's right. Has been a big week in basketball, though. Bit of good news for the women over in the WNBL space, by the looks of it. The Melbourne Boomers seem to have obviously stuck around. So
very good. And we're going to get into that post our discussion of the Senior Men's Blues with Steve Blackley, and we'll be up after a short break. Manny Hendricks Jr., those dulcet tones never stop impressing. You are on the Ardell PFM Basketball Show, 98.7 FM or 98.3 FM, depending where you are on this wonderful peninsula, either this side or the other side of Arthur's Seat for you ladies, if you're just trying to work that out. It's a really high microphone set up there, Courtney. It shows that we've got a 6'3 athlete in the building. We are going to start talking about the Senior Blues program, and we're very fortunate to have Frankston Blues High Performance Manager Steve Blackley on the line. Steve, welcome to the Basketball Show.
Evening, gentlemen, and Courtney.
And Steph.
Hi, Steve.
And Steph as well.
Hi.
Steph in the building.
It's a full house, and you've got Darren Marty Walsh, of course, of the Bobcats basketball. Steve, let's get right into it. We had you on last week. You're on the road to Mount Gambier. The positiveness and the I guess the enthusiasm pre-game, we all thought we could potentially get that W. Unfortunately, we didn't. You were assistant coach. You're on the tools, mate. What happened? And, there was an injury and all kinds of unfortunate events going on.
Well, yeah, the air definitely went out of the gym a few minutes into the game. Our star point guard, Corey Maynard, from the Townsville Crocodiles, broke his finger probably 3 minutes into the first quarter. So, that kind of deflated the boys pretty quickly. We only went up there with an eight-man roster, and we left a couple of our under-20s behind who had a big game on Friday night against the top-of-the-table team. So we took eight players up. We were soon down to seven, 3 minutes into the game, and we had one of our other players that may have had some food poisoning that was outside feeling unwell during the game. So at one stage, Grant looked down the bench, and there was only one player on the bench plus me, so he certainly wasn't stopping me into the game. So a lot of the planning and things that we had going into the game went out the window 3 minutes into the game. But to the boys' credit, they played pretty hard and lost by 16 in the end against the two-time defending national champions, and really hung tough and played pretty well with a seven-man rotation.
And that takes the Blues to 2-8. So again, are we last on the ladder or are we second last?
No, you're last.
I think we're second last. not that I'm counting. I think the Tigers have got one game, one win, so we'll take that.
Now, Steph's been she's done a little bit of analysis on the box score from last week. She's got a few questions, Steve, the point guard of the Buffalo Lady program, women's program. Better hit between the eyes, I reckon.
Fire away, Steph.
Oh, no, I was just wondering what happened in the third quarter with the turnover rate. Like, did they press or what happened there offensively?
Yeah, they turned it over a little bit, and Mount Gambier made them pay. They hit their first 5 3-point attempts in the quarter. So they went 5 of 5 to start the third quarter. So we went into the halftime break kind of 8 points down, and I think we were more upbeat than what Mount Gambier were to only be 8 down and probably hadn't played fantastic. And, you know, you'd always take that going up there, being close at halftime. And they came out, a couple of costly turnovers, and we had to go to a zone because we were undermanned with the personnel and trying to save some energy. And, yeah, they went bang, bang, bang. By the time we went back to man-to-man, a couple of other guys hit threes and 15 quick points. Obviously put the game out to 20-odd, and we were up against it. But, yeah, I think they made us pay on our turnovers as well, probably the first half. We turned it over a little bit in the first quarter as well, and they didn't make us pay for it. But the third quarter, we definitely did.
And Eric Burden, he had a night out. He was 62% from the three-point line, 5 of 8. So I dare say he may have been one of those people on the end of those
Probably didn't follow the scout as well as we should have with Eric. He just likes to pop himself in the corners, and they do look for him. They're really unselfish and set screens for him, and because they know his lights out when he does get it. But the positive thing is we were down 23 points at three quarter time, and you know the game really could have gone a lot worse from that point in, but you know, we played a really good last quarter and outscored them by, I think, 6 points in the last quarter. And he kept his starters in until about 30 seconds to go. The Mancambia coach, they played it right out, and I think we ended up winning two of the four quarters up there. So the third quarter was just a
second and the fourth, mate. Just to let you know.
Yeah, just. But that premiership quarter in the third quarter, as they say, definitely wasn't ours.
So just out of curiosity, what's the ruling? Can the coach play? Because Grant wasn't a bad player in his day.
Yeah, no, there's been player coaches. I don't think they've done it for a little while, but I know back in the day it used to happen. And
he might be
used to walk the sidelines in the track seat. It was a good look. Yeah, it's always one of my bucket list things to do. I always wanted to do that.
I did joke around with Corey at the time when I was looking for his. I was looking at his finger, and we couldn't locate his knuckle. That was kind of halfway up his arm, and kind of realised then we needed to send him off to hospital. And I did say to him, if he wanted to leave his shoes behind, I might go and throw on one of the spare uniforms. But I don't think I was going to get the tap on the shoulder to sub in.
So this week, Steve, against an informed Bendigo Braves outfit, currently sitting top of their conference. It's a big night for the Blues. We'll be recognising our returning athletes from obviously University of Buffalo, but also Ryan Brokoff's going to be in the house. What are the keys to victory? The group obviously still thinks it has the chance of making the playoffs. Need to win every game from now on, which is going to be a challenge. But what are the keys to victory?
So you're saying there's a chance?
Absolutely.
So
there you go.
At what point do you?
No, I think probably slowing down their American point guard. Forget his first name, but I think it's Jeremy Kendall, who had 35 on the Rangers on the weekend, and we played against him in preseason. Kind of 6 foot wide point guard that can really play, and I know he's got some interest from some NBL teams as well. He's probably the key to slowing them. He makes them tick. So defending them, and probably not having Corey Maynard, who would have been an ideal matchup because he's such a good defender, is really going to probably hurt us. So a lot of responsibility on Jake McCauley, and we've got another kid that's returned from college, Declan Sukup, that I think that's how you pronounce his last name. You coach his brother, Nathan, so you can probably help me out. But he's going to suit up tomorrow night as well. Plus, we've got big Angus Howie, who's also back from college, who's going to have a run for us. So their two imports are outstanding. Damian Johnson, their other import, is the, I think, back-to-back defensive player of the year, and they're probably one of the real pros of the competition. So trying to limit their two imports will be key.
And hopefully we get a similar production out of Rob Jones and Dane Swatella, who are our both leading scorer and leading rebounder last week. Steve, we are going to wrap it up there. Courtney, unless you've got a question, you're listening intently.
No, I don't have a question. I was just listening in. Yeah, see what the forecast is for the weekend.
She's spellbound by my words. Yeah.
Get used to it, Courtney. Yep. Nathan does this to everybody. Throws you under the bus.
Just pass it. Give him players the ball, Bobby. You know how it is. But Steve, thank you.
Definitely be good to have the girls in the stadium Saturday night, and very proud of what the girls are doing over in the University of Buffalo, and what Ryan's doing with the Boomers and stuff like that. So it'd be good to have them and show them off to the Blues faithful.
And of course, get down. Angus Howie is back from his college commitment, so he'll be suiting up, which is a great thing. Thanks, Steve. Enjoy your Friday night evening, and catch you tomorrow at the game.
No problem. Sounds good. See you, boys and girls. See ya.
See ya.
Bye. So what stage do you pull the pin, Nathan, and start saying rebuild for next year?
In terms of rebuild, I think we're always developing. And with that, it's one of those things. I think this year was a real step forward in potentially a bit of a refresh. The men's program's been in transition for a while, I think. Three wins last year. We didn't play finals the year before, but you know, what we're trying to do is do it with Frankston kids, you know.
Get some consistency in the group would be good. And obviously
core group, absolutely.
Coach Wallace is going to be there for a while, I assume.
Yep, so continuity off court is key. And I think sort of Al Mack, 12 months, and then Simon Giovanni for 2 years, trying to develop that core off-court leadership and then...
Because each time we've spoken with Grant, he's always talked about, obviously, the core group mm-hmm. and obviously building around that. So if that's the team that you want to have for, obviously, a couple of years and the core people, then obviously now's the time to lock them in, make sure that that development comes through.
Absolutely. And I think these girls saw it firsthand. You guys came through the 18s and you... was it a year of youth league and then... a little bit of training with the Siebel potentially?
Yeah, we played youth league for 1 year and then we only got the off season with Siebel and went straight across in December. So,
well, we won't talk about the youth league, will we?
Well, these girls did play under 18 VC. They went to the Classic. On the boys' side, we haven't had that. Our under 18 boys VC reserve. Our two under 20 teams are in Met 1. Last year, our under 20 boys were in Met 2. Also talking about a youth league program that we did lose by 75 points to Diamond Valley in 2013, which is burnt into the back of my mind. So there might be a thing called talent that we're probably lacking, but that's not a criticism. It's just one of those things that we just need to continue to work through. You are on the RPFM basketball show. Just to finish up on the Senior Blues, 2-8, big game on Saturday night against Bendigo. The men really do need to find some form and with that, I know you're shaking your head, Bobby. Jake McCauley. Jake McCauley taking on greater responsibility, I think, with Corey Maynard injured. We are going to go to a break, aren't we, Mitch? You're wrapping me up. You are on the RLP Fan Basketball Show, 98.7 FM, brought to you by Bobcats Basketball and Frankston Basketball. Be back after a short break with Mike Brookins to talk all things Lady Blues.
Get back in the gym with the Manny Hendricks from RPFM. But gee, the boys are doing all right down at Collingwood. I did catch up with Manny. You are listening to The Basketball Show, brought to you by Frankston Blues and also Bobcats.
Smooth.
Thanks, mate.
Bobby, you're back. Found a bit of confidence in the second half, so...
Yes, nailed the first shot, so look out. He's on fire.
Beautiful. I encourage you to take the ball. Just let you just run with it.
Who are we going to talk to? Mike Brookins,
the Lady Blues head coach.
Head coach.
Absolutely. Before we just jump into Mikey, though, we are going to talk a little bit about the girls and just a quick snapshot. Conference winning, NCAA tournament. The season sort of turned around probably halfway through the season. I think, Steph, you were appointed captain at that stage, weren't you? It was a bit of a change in leadership, talking all things leadership.
Yep. I was with JoJo, Jonah Smith.
Yep, and sort of the golden run sort of started from then. Courtney was coming back from injury, so that was you were sort of injured early on.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty unusual to have two girls from the same club from Australia playing at the same university, isn't it?
Yeah, we're lucky to.
Yeah,
do
we're
it,
so
though.
Lucky.
So, do you girls do obviously just hang out with each other, or just go your separate ways?
Well, we hang out.
Yeah, there's just like, you know, we don't live together sort of thing, but we're obviously together a lot. We take the same classes. We're in the same major.
Yep.
We're in the same team, so we're in the locker room together often.
Yep.
Have the same study hall hours. So we see each other a lot. So.
And for our listeners, Courtney's, she plays as a three-man, so that would be a four. So she's a rebounder, scorer, inside. Stretches the defense, so stretch four, so she can shoot the three and hit some really big shots in some big games, which she'll talk about. And Steph is the point guard, so she's the on-court
brains.
General, exactly, running the show. But you had a great finish to the season, Court. You were hitting some threes. Would have felt good?
Yeah, against Ohio State, they were pretty good. I mean, I think we were a bit shocked where we played them. But I just... hit a few threes, which were helpful. Yeah, we lost, but it was a good experience, so it's all right.
How have you girls found the coaching over there comparative to what you get, obviously, back at home, whether it be in a Blues program or a state program or anything along those lines? Is it as good or is it better or is it a very different experience?
I think it's a different experience. I think that it's a lot more intense. And there's obviously a lot more on the line for these coaches, so they put their whole heart and soul into it, and I love that part of it. Coach Jack, especially, like, we love her. She's a great coach. And
do you call her Coach Jack, or do you later call her Felicia?
There is no way we'll
coach
ever
Jack.
Call her by her first name. under any circumstances.
Oh, so that is just a huge respect thing?
Yeah. Yep. You call all your coaches by
coach.
And then...
Coach Jolly.
Yeah. So, yeah, but
at least have people things. Smiling.
Yeah. But like simple things, like you can't walk in a drill. You can't be lazy.
Yep.
There's five coaches. So everyone's watching you at all times. You can't slack off for 1 second. And
so it is completely different kettle of fish.
Pretty much like you can't get away with anything.
Nothing. Yep.
Like,
so
you need to be disciplined.
Steph is now the captain. When you guys were being recruited, Buffalo were recruiting Courtney sort of and Steph at the similar time, but offered Courtney the scholarship first, if memory serves me correctly. Through Simon Mitchell, who the former high performance manager at Frankston Basketball, did a great job connecting the girls with the university. But they weren't too keen on Steph. And I remember talking to assistant coach, Coach Hogg. I can't pronounce her. That Coach Hogg is her maiden name.
We call her Coach Cherie.
Coach Cherie, so there you go. So
there you go, a bit easier.
Yeah. And sort of weren't too keen on Steph. But then, and Simon was very adamant. He said, no, I think Steph could play at that level. And sort of they took a punt. And since then, I dare say you've been shocking them all. They would be very impressed with end up going with that decision that they weren't too keen on at the start.
Yeah, they had a Croatian point guard at the time that they were signing. And when her grades fell through and everything, they came to me, which I wasn't mad about, to be honest.
So you were made or appointed captain. Mm-hmm. So how does that process work? Is it just a show of hands? Let's all vote for her? Or?
So our captains were selected at the start of the year. And halfway through the season, different ladies stepped up. Myself and Joe took on a larger leadership role. We were the only two returning starters from the season before. So we had a big role. And Coach realised halfway through the season that just things weren't working, and she just decided to put the captaincy role in us, and we've loved it ever since. So,
okay. So only two returned?
No, we're the only two starters okay. that returned.
Yep.
With like a lot of playing experience the season before. We lost 87% of our offense.
Wow.
Yeah, so we definitely, it was meant to be a rebuilding year.
Yep.
But we went and won, which was nice.
So who's coming from Frankston next year?
We haven't got anyone.
No one earmarked yet?
Not that I know of.
No.
Because you could
probably the year after, potentially.
You could send your entire team over there, get them to train in the States.
Well, we're blue. That's a good start.
Yeah.
Speaking of blue, we do have V8 Lady Blues head coach Mike Brookins on the line, going to talk all things Lady Blues. Mikey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing this evening?
Good. Very. Mate. You didn't fall asleep there because somebody forgot to tell us you're on the phone.
Not at all. I think Steph and Courtney are doing a great job.
Thanks.
And you are the basketball show's own, now a regular, which is fantastic. You're with Bobcat Bobby, Darren Marnie Walsh from the Bobcats Basketball, Nathan Jolly, Courtney Wilkins and Steph Reed of the University of Buffalo. Mikey, you had the bye last week, so that saves us talking about that result. But this week against Bendigo, mate, a feeder WNBL program, so it's talent-wise there. They're going to be up and about. Big clash tomorrow night, the House of Blues, 5 p.m.
Yes, it's actually, I think, probably one of our most important games of the season. Coming off a really good win in Ballarat, we want to see if we can't ride that momentum and put two in a row together. Our home crowd hasn't seen us victorious in a while, so it's going to be a big ask. The Lady Braves found themselves a 6'5 import from States that joined them on Monday, so kind of messed up my scouting report. So we'll just have to see play by ear. We have to focus on us more so than them and figure it out throughout the game.
Sounds like they're bringing in the big guns, Mikey. You should be flattered.
Yeah, I am. They were a small team, which we felt were going to be, you know, in a game quite similar to 2 weeks ago against Ballarat. But with, you know, when you bring in a 6'5 WNBA player, kind of change things. So, like I said, we'll just have to play it by ear and see how we go.
Now, we do have Steph and Courtney in the studio. Steph trained last night. Courtney, you're still recovering from an injury. How did Steph go?
She did well. She just fits right in. Very impressed with her dribble drive penetration to get open shots for other players. Their speed, defensive ability. She's definitely matured quite a bit over her journey at Buffalo. I know it's a bit of adjustment going from the 3-point line in college back out to the international line, but phenomenal finisher. I was very impressed. She adds a lot of value to our training.
Now, for our listeners, you are the Junior Blues on the girls' side coordinator. How important is it, you think, for junior athletes, if they get the opportunity to attend college and the student athlete experience and play basketball in the collegiate system, you know, at that development age of 18 to 22?
I think it's very important, not just for the experience, but also to better their game. It's a different game. It's a bit faster, not as physical, probably a little bit more structured than it is here. But the more different styles of basketball that you can privy yourself to, it just opens up your basketball IQ. It just makes you a much better player.
Very good. We're going to wrap it up. It's a quick interview. Mitch is pushing us along, Mikey. But good luck tomorrow night. The win against Ballarat, obviously taking some great form, winning that away. Looking forward to a big crowd at the House of Blues, wearing the white uniforms for the first time this year on our home court. So get down to see that, and also recognising the girls and also Ryan Brokoff. So it should be a great night. Thanks again, Mikey.
No problem. My pleasure, boys. Have a good one.
Thank you very much. And for those that can't get to the House of Blues tomorrow night, 5 p.m, the girls tip off, you can tune in and watch the live stream, commentated by Paul O'Kennedy and Steve Blackley. Special comments via our YouTube channel, Blues Media. I know you girls were tuning in from Buffalo.
A couple of times.
Oh, look out.
It's an audio medium, radio. You can't nod. our listeners can't see you.
It'll be a good game Friday night, I reckon, the women. The Bendigo girls, I was just having a look at their stats, coming off a loss. Kelly Wilson's obviously their main gun. So,
and I mean, Kelly Wilson, she's an opal. She's elite talent.
Yeah. So, but you've got the bookends down at Frankston. So the two big girls are getting the job done. It's always a case of who's going to be the third or the fourth to help out and chip in with a few points for those two.
So, you guys, was it a hard decision? You guys, isn't that good English? Yeah. Steph and Courtney, that you're 19, yeah?
Yeah, almost 20.
Almost 20. Was it a hard decision to say I'm going to sort of go to the other side of the planet and take up a basketball scholarship, or would you rather be staying here and playing in our Siebel program?
I think it would be silly not to go if you had the opportunity.
Yeah, I agree completely. Especially, once we found out we were going together, it wasn't a hard decision at all.
Yeah,
I think that's a fairly firm answer on that. And why is it different? Why do you think it's? I mean, Mike, you talked about it's a faster game. Why do you enjoy it so much?
I think it's just the whole experience. Like, it's completely different from anything that you would do over here. Like, the university tied in with the basketball and living on campus. Like, it's a completely different life to what you'd live over here. Whole new experience.
Yeah, I agree with that. And just like the opportunity to travel and play the sport you love is just something that you can't turn down. So,
oh, isn't that very serious from Steph? She's got a game face on. So, she has been at CrossFit this week and working very hard. I know you're just going to jump in, but Courtney, you are injured. So what's your injury for our listeners, just for an update?
I've got a few stress fractures in my foot. It happened right at the end of the season, which wasn't bad timing, but injuries are never good, so I'm in a boot for a bit longer.
It's an attractive boot.
Might I add, she scored 14 points against Ohio State with 3 stress fractures in her foot. So
keep her on the court, I say.
Yeah,
it's all heart. I think it was in the off season last season. Those trail threes, that's her game, and the toughness coming out of the point guard. Let's not go to the 1-on-1.
So
tearing up episode. No,
I didn't even cry. I don't know what you're talking. Like, I was just frustrated. That's but, you know, I'm better now. I'm ready to kick your butt in one-on-one.
So just on a different note, from obviously the basketball experience is great.
Mm-hmm.
From the academic point of view, do you walk over here, come back to Australia with something that is actually recognised, or is it really just a bit of a piece of paper that nobody holds any credence to?
Well, we're both majoring in communication, so there's a lot of opportunities that arise from that, so hopefully.
Yeah, eventually want to specialize in like public relations, advertising and marketing.
Yep.
And I mean, that's like a field that is very largely open, I guess.
Yep.
But universal in its skill set.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, everyone can get into.
So have you heard though from other players that have come back, obviously at the end of their college stints, with their degrees in hand, have they been recognised in the Australian workforce? Or because that would be my major concern, obviously. Yeah. It's great to go overseas and play and
there was learn. There's a guard playing for Adelaide. She went to Duke University. She's now a doctor in
because you hear all the time about, obviously, you know, the taxi driver who's a doctor from Sri Lanka, and they don't actually recognise that.
Take your hood off. Come on now. You're bagging politicians last week. Now you're getting into the minorities. Look at you.
I'm not. I'm just asking whether that's looked upon as
sounds like you're talking down incredible to taxi drivers.
It depends on your degree. I know that the twins, they're from New South Wales. They're studying biomedical sciences and you know, all the medical degrees. And when they come back, what they would be doing would require 12 years eventually.
Yep.
They're doing 4 years in America and it translates to two of those.
Wow.
I think, right?
Yeah, they have to come back and do more study after that. Anyway.
But, I mean, it's the same in America, so...
Yeah, it's like the pre-med, isn't it? And then it's...
Yeah, so regardless of what you do overseas, like in America, you don't really get a job out of just undergraduate studies. You have to go to graduate school. That's a big thing in America. So I think that regardless of your degree, you can come back and you're still going to have to study, depending on what you do. I know law's not transferable. Obviously, different law systems, it's just not relevant.
Kelly Bowen, I think, was a public relations graduate, and I think she's working in public... Or she's working in public relations over here. So I think it's a transferable skill. But I think the... In terms of certification from the medical type streams,
it requires
I think
the same thing.
And if you study law, they say you have to get the bar or pass whatever the bar exam is, the equivalent over here. But you are on the RLPFM basketball show. We are... Dialogue is occurring. It's fantastic. Bobby's brought his game face last week. He was a little bit more aggressive. He was a little bit more combative, wasn't he, Mitch? Yep.
Well, we still haven't talked about what's going on. Talked about what's going on in the Boomers camp, the Australian Boomers.
No, and we're going to get to that. There's a whole lot of Peninsula hoops. There's a whole lot of local hoops, domestic hoops, NBA. It is all happening after the break.
Oh, my goodness. We
are going to finish off with the girls. They're going to talk about that Cinderella run from the conference final into the NCAA game against Ohio State, where you did lose that, which was unfortunate, but that, unlike the NCAA men's tournament, where all games are on neutral venues, this game was on Ohio's home court, which was a bit of a bummer. But there was a game winner in the conference final, which Steph was involved in, which is fantastic. As I said, Courtney played really well to get that team motoring the way they were. You just stole the girls' thunder. We do have the basketball show's leadership program, where we do get our guests to bring us back in from an ad. You've cut their lunch. Steph was ready to go.
And she really made a very adamant no.
Definitely. It was an adamant no. Sorry.
Well, I think Courtney was stepping up. That's what... Courtney's just... She's still conditioned to say, you know what, if this thing needs to happen, give me the ball and I'll do it. But
let's talk about the NCAA fairy tale girls.
Okay.
What's going on? What happened?
From the conference tournament or just the NCAA...
Well, let's frame it. So Buffalo, were you a 500 team coming into the tournament?
We were...
What was your record?
We ended up with 20 overall.
We had 20 wins.
So you were 15 and, I don't know, 10 maybe?
I think it was 11.
So you were seeded in terms of your conference tournament. The seedings are based on your ladder position at the end of the year. You were ranked, or you were seeded low.
We were 8th seed going into the tournament.
8th seed.
Which was pretty low.
Halfway through the year, they've changed their leadership.
Steph.
Crisis, you know, probably 101 going on to say, you know, ladies, we need to start playing well and we need to start looking at the personnel. So good job, Coach Jack.
Yeah, we lost 6 in a row.
That would have been a fun time.
It was definitely time. It was rough. We needed to
figure
something out.
Ask Grant how that feels.
Coach Jack's volume was raising.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it was just a tough time in regards to... We didn't get our... we were just getting our rotations sorted out. It was good to, like, test it out and figure it... Like when we got the answers, everything just clicked and we beat a couple big teams. We beat Ohio, who they were undefeated in our conference besides us three times. So they were expected to win it all and they could not beat us.
And then that big thing, the big momentum just starts and it builds and the confidence. Yeah. And girls start playing well. Girls start hitting big shots. And it wasn't just, Steph and Courtney. There was other players that really came in. And the co-captain was white hot in terms of the way she was shooting. Joanna she was Smith. Yeah, yeah, she was phenomenal, which was great watching. So 8th seed, they start winning the semi or quarter semi, and then you get into the championship game. And talk us through that sort of probably down the stretch.
Well, we had to play an extra game to everyone else to qualify because we were such a low seed. So we were pretty fatigued by that point. But, it was a tight game. Central Michigan's a very similar team to us. Very athletic. Got a good big girl. I forgot her name. But
number two.
Yeah, Tanara Moore.
Let's go with two.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But she's good. They've got a really good point guard, freshman. So we matched up very well against them. Managed to get their point guard in foul trouble pretty early, which was nice. We got him in three fouls in the first 5 minutes, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was off for the whole first half, which was nice. That really gave us an opportunity to score. And
so you made your run?
Yeah, what were we at halftime? I don't even know.
I think we were ahead by like four, something like that. It was quite close though.
It was close the whole game. And then the last seconds of, we went into overtime.
So championship game goes into overtime.
Goes into overtime, typical championship game. And then we were up by two with 10 seconds to go. Tried to take a charge. They called it a block, which was nice of them. I thought my flop was pretty good at that point. Right, Court?
Yeah.
You got to work on that in the off-season.
My flops were good this season. I don't need an Oscar or something for them. But, so the Presley Hudson hit two free throws.
So game's tied up.
Yeah.
4 seconds, 5 seconds to go.
3.6
seconds to go. There we go. We had the ball on the sideline. Catherine Upps was passing it in. Honestly, I don't even remember the play that Coach Jack drew up on the board.
So Coach calls a timeout, draws up a play.
I was so like shocked by the fact that we were in this situation, to be honest. I didn't even remember the play. I went out there.
I didn't even know there was a play.
I don't know what it was.
She said two dribbles.
Cassie Adler, our setter.
The whiteboard just got black all over it.
I don't know what happened. And then Cassie's standing at the top of the key. And Coach Jack comes up to me. She said, Steph, you have two dribbles. I said, all right, the play's for me then. Got it. Because by that point, I had no idea if the ball was going to me. JoJo had lost her contact lens. So great. She wasn't taking the final shot because she couldn't see the rim.
That's self-awareness. Good job, JoJo.
Yeah, she said, I'm not shooting. I cannot see
four,
the rim.
Literally, four baskets here.
Yeah,
yep.
It was hilarious. Like everything went wrong. It was absolutely good. Right. I had no idea what the play was. Cassie set a down screen for me. So I was like, all right, I better go get the ball. Catherine up with a nice pass fake, got the ball in, and then,
bingo.
Couple of dribbles and just
dribbles and a floater off the backboard. Cassie set a nice screen on there.
That was, and I reckon that was an offensive foul. That was a serious screen.
No. She flopped. She flew 7 meters. That was definitely an absolute flop.
Game winner.
Into the NCAA.
Crowd rushed the court. ESPN, did you make the top 10?
I did actually, I think.
I don't remember a top 10 during our time, but we definitely got on ESPN and the last play was replayed a lot of times.
ESPN were running it.
Yeah, we were doing the sway dab.
I remember the sway dab, yeah.
So, yeah.
And then the following week, you roll into Ohio State and then struggling here. But and then unfortunately, they are a Big Ten school.
Yeah, All-American point guard in Kelsey Mitchell. We kept her to 27, though, which it doesn't sound that great, but she went on to score 45 against West Virginia.
She could play.
So we weren't disappointed in that effort.
So you lose in the round of 64, which is a shame, but next year looking to take the next step in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I definitely think we can go to the next round. I mean, we had a bit of a taste of it this year, so now we know what we need to do to get to the next round, I think.
Yeah.
So what is the plan for the off-season? Do coaches give you a program to say, okay, go back to Australia and yeah, there is going to be some downtime, but you are now building for season 2017.
Yeah, so we have a five-day program, involves running and lifting, but obviously we're in the gym outside of that together and do CrossFit down in Frankston.
Simo, Seaford, good work.
Yeah.
Ding, good work, Mitch.
Just a delayed response here.
Now we're getting to the home stretch, and we just got to. There's a bucket of stuff we need to get through, Bobby. So we've got to talk about the WNBL quickly. Lauren Jackson taking ownership of the Boomers. So the Boomers are saved. So there's going to be seven teams in the WNBL. So they must have heard our cries last week, Basketball Australia.
Yeah, well, apparently that's right.
Changing policy.
Yes.
On the back of Bobby Dazzler.
Very interesting, isn't it?
I think it's a wonderful thing having Lauren back involved in the sport from an executive level.
Time will tell.
Yeah, look, I think the TV deal's the big one, and I know that
it's imminent. It's coming.
It is, and I think they're trying to put a fairly complex deal together, so that's why they might be taking some time. But Basketball Australia is John Tuxworth,
ludicrous thing
reported this week, working to broker a blanket deal with a free-to-air network. To include the Boomers, Opals, NBL, WNBL, and FIBA Oceania
I'm not
fixtures.
Sure. Why would you do that?
I don't know. I'm not sure why the NBL is in there. I think the NBL are pretty happy at Foxtel. But yeah.
And clearly, Basketball Australia's got nothing to do with the NBL anymore anyway.
No.
No.
Agree with that.
Yeah. It'll go nowhere. But the Boomers did announce their 17-man squad, which is interesting, and obviously Frankston's favourites are in there, in Mr. Ryan Brockhoff and Dave Anderson, which is good.
Fantastic result again for Peninsula Hoops, for Frankston Basketball.
Yes.
Further reason why we need that high-performance centre.
Be interesting to see who makes the final cut.
Yeah, well, they're talking about, is Dante included in that?
He is. I don't think he'll go, though.
Kevin Lish, I reckon he's going to be an outsider. Yeah, I don't think Dante's going to go. Andrew Bogut is going to play. That's exciting.
Well, assumably he's not injured. He might still be crying when Golden State dip out.
which is we need to talk about that because Golden State are under the pump.
They are.
Good.
3-1.
Good?
Yeah, I reckon.
Could be. Be very interesting. Very
well, the Raptors...
The Raptors are
had one of those moments when they got
good.
Beaten by 40 yesterday.
Yes.
Where I reckon you run around the court going, is this really happening?
Yes.
Quick shout out. There is the Bayside tournament coming up, the Bayside Junior Domestic Basketball Tournament, which I know the Bobcats are great supporters of. That's going to be played over Saturday the 2nd of July and Sunday the 3rd of July. So all those domestic teams that want to have a run around in the school holidays, get down. You can register online at frankstonbasketball.asn.au. It will be hosted at the Frankston Basketball Stadium. And on the Saturday, the 2nd of July, there will be a Siebel game. So the Frankston Blues are taking on the Sandringham Sabres. So for those clubs that want to, coaches and players that want to have a run around, get down. You got some Big V news for us, Bobby, before we have to finish up?
Oh, look, we just got a little bit about, obviously, what's going on in on the peninsula. The Southern Penn girls are sitting third in the championship, in their championship category, state championship. They're doing pretty well. They're about to lose, though, as we sort of were talking off air with the girls. Three of their stars are all heading off to college. So
where are they off to?
Ella's off to...
TCU.
Sorry?
TCU.
Yes.
Texas Christian University.
Yep. Yeah, just outside Dallas.
Eliza West, I think, is going, and Courtney might be the other one. I'm not sure, but three of the girls are off, which will be probably a big blow for them, but of great opportunities, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And in the men's conferences, well, it all happens this week. Good to see Collingwood, our great friend Mr. Manny Hendricks, sitting in third. Barely won a game last year, and this year they're 6-3, so they're doing all right.
Manny just texted in and said he's ready for his phone call, but unfortunately it's half an hour too late, Manny.
But everybody's on the road. So Mornington travelled to Craigieburn, and I did talk to Manny about who lost to Craigieburn last week. They just played badly, according to Mr. Hendricks. Western Port play Altona on the Sunday, and of course, as I said, Mornington travel to Craigieburn, and Collingwood are at home to Oakley, so they should chalk up a win, which would be good for them.
Absolutely. We're getting the wind up. Steph, Courtney, thank you for coming in. It's always nice to hear your voices and see your faces, and you're spending a lot of time at the basketball stadium, so seeing a bit of you, but thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Look forward to having you on soon. Definitely on before you head off. When are you scheduled to head back to
I haven't booked my flight
school.
Yet.
Yeah, so no you may idea. Not be going back at all.
No, I'll be back there.
August?
Yeah, sometime mid-August. What, did you book your flight yet?
Yeah, 12th of August.
All right, I might go back.
About then.
Yeah, I don't know.
Around there.
Via sometime. Hawaii?
No, I'm going via some other places.
I'm trying to go via Hawaii. I'm trying to trick the grandparents into changing there.
Bobby, and just quickly, it must be hard going from winter to winter.
It's great, really. I love 4 years of being
the complexion
white piece of paper.
It's good.
There's no tanning opportunity.
Bobby,
at all.
Thank you for your input tonight, mate. It's been good. The combative.
Oh, thanks, mate.
You've left the chain mail at the door and you've come in, and it's been good.
I've apologised to my politicians.
Big weekend this weekend for the Bobcats.
Always a big weekend, mate.
Good luck for all those teams. Thanks, Mitch, giving us a thumbs up. This has been the RWPFM Basketball Show. Do we have a track? Do we work a track? Yeah, the girls have requested Drake, I believe, so you'll be going out to some...
Who's that?
The latest in the R&B college scene. This is the RWPFM Basketball Show, brought to you by Bobcats Basketball and Frankston Basketball. I've been your host, Nathan Jolly. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.